There is a need in our nation today, and that need is for revival. We need God in America again, and this morning I'm praying for every man that'll hear this message, that God would speak to our heart in a mighty, mighty way. Family and friends, I've shared with you before, and I'm sharing with you again this morning, that God gave to man three divine institutions. He gave to man family, he gave to man the church, and he gave man government. And God gave man the responsibility to rule these three divine institutions. And God gave to man his word, his rule book, his guidebook on how man is to rule. So that with God's help, man could build up the kingdom of God here on earth. This kingdom building aspect of our Lord Jesus Christ is something that he taught his disciples to be praying for. Something that Charlotte is teaching the children to be praying for. And hopefully reminding us to be praying for. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This morning, allow me to very quickly share with you what man has done when it comes to his area of responsibility regarding the divine institution of the home. A study by the University of Rhode Island revealed that the American home is a more dangerous place to be outside of riots and wars. Consider that one out of every three women and one out of every four men will experience abuse from their mate. 10 million women and men are affected by domestic violence in our American homes. 2 million of those women and men have used a gun, knife, or other lethal weapon on each other during their marriage. More than 20% of all police officers are fatally injured responding to domestic abuse. But statistics are hard to come by because domestic abuse is the highest unreported crime in America. Beyond that, one of the most distressing developments in God's institution of the divine family. When you take African American, Latino, and you and I Caucasian births, and you combine the statistics, do you realize that 94% of all children being born in this nation today are being illegitimately born? Born to unwed mothers, these children will most likely grow up to be impoverished, dependent upon welfare, deprived of educational opportunities, and destined to repeat the cycle of sin with illegitimate children of their own. J. Oswald Sanders, years and years ago, wrote in his book, A Spiritual Clinic, of two families who were studied from the state of New York very carefully. One was the Max Jukes family. The other was the Jonathan Edwards family. Now, Max Jukes was an unbelieving man who married an unbelieving woman, two people who lacked both the Lord and principle. And among their known descendants of over 1,200 studied, it was discovered that 310 became vagrants, 440 physically wrecked their lives, living a debauched lifestyle, 130 were sent to prison for an average of 13 years, and seven of them for murder, Over 100 became alcoholics, 60 became habitual thieves, 190 became habitual prostitutes. Of the 20 who did learn a trade, 10 of them learned a trade in state prison, and it cost the state of New York back in that time over $1.5 million for a family that made no contribution to society whatsoever. Jonathan Edwards was a man of God who married a woman of God. They began their family, and this is what they discovered. Again, over 1,200 studied. Over 300 became clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 became college professors, 30 of them judges, 60 physicians, and 60 of them became authors of good classical books. 14 became presidents of universities, and numerous members became giants in the American industry. 3 became United States congressmen, and 1 was the vice president of the United States. Why am I sharing all of this with you? I'll tell you why. I think it's time, and it might do us some good, if we stop to consider the impact our family is having on our nation in the midst of this evil hour. I will say it again, the real crisis in America today is not a moral one, it's not a social one, it's not an economic one, it's not a military one, it is a spiritual one. And if we're going to fix a spiritual crisis, the likes of which we have never seen in our nation, and have God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, then we'd better approach this issue of God's divine institution from a family, from the King of Kings perspective, and not our own. I'll be finding in your Bibles this morning, if you will, the very first book, the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And when you get there, be finding verse 15. And when you find verse 15, if you are able, would you please rise to your feet? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Father God, as we come to this passage of Scripture, as we come to this preaching moment, Lord, we pray that every ear would be attuned, as Jesus often prayed before he spoke and after he spoke, let him who has an ear hear. And Lord, how we need to be hearing in America today. Lord, as men in this world today, you have called us to lead. And Father, we need to be certain that as men in this world, we are teaching the next generation the principles of a holy, righteous God, that we might be able to live in a holy family, in a holy nation, with a holy government. Father, help us this morning, because as we look around our world, only a fool would say that we are not in need of desperate help when it comes to the divine institution of our home, our family. Lord, this morning, we may be doing very well as a man with our family. We may be a leader who is leading under God. But Lord, We need to be a leader who not only leads our family under God, but Father, who reaches out to help those, as so many children are leaderless. So Lord, help us to have our eyes wide open. Help us to have our ears attuned, and help us to be used by you in a mighty way, that we might begin to change our nation back to being one nation under God. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people, I pray, would say, Amen. Well, why this passage? And it's a very familiar passage to many of us. And the reason for this passage is because if the question were asked, where did the origin of the human family begin? Well, friend, the text we've just read answers the question, because God tells us that he planted a garden in Eden. And then we read that God planted the man he created, Adam, in that garden that God created. And I want you to note that Adam, unlike many men today, was not confused about his gender. He was not confused about his sexuality. He was not confused about his identity. And he was not confused about his purpose. You see, God had given him his purpose to tend and care for the garden. And we're also told that in the center of the garden, God placed two trees, not one. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave Adam a warning. He was never to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we find no indication in Holy Scripture that Adam ever questioned God's authority, or that Adam ever tried to reason with him about that. Now remember, Eve has not yet arrived on the scene. And so God gives Adam an assignment to tend and care for the garden and name every living thing. Well, certainly, God could have reversed their birth order and given this responsibility to Eve, but he didn't. God could have created Adam and Eve at the same time, but he didn't. So we know that from before Eve entered the world, God formed every kind of bird and animal from the soil. And God brought them all to Adam to see what Adam would name them. God gave full responsibility to Adam before Eve ever arrived. Now God could have waited, and he could have given the responsibility to both Adam and Eve to name the things. But he didn't. The responsibility was placed squarely on Adam's shoulders before God made a helpmeet suitable for him. Why did God choose to do it this way? After all, women are just as capable as men when it comes to naming things and taking care of a garden. So why did God give the ultimate responsibility to the man only? The Bible doesn't specifically say. But God's word is full of truth that informs us as to why it was done this way. And the first reason why God gave primary responsibility to man before Eve ever arrived was to illustrate God's spiritual hierarchy. That is, God's divine function for the family, while husbands and wives are equal in being one to another in every way, God designed them to be functionally different. And the king's word is this, 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So if the question were asked, who is to be the spiritual leader of the home, the king's kingdom manual tells us in words that a child can understand his intention. From the very beginning, God intended for the husband to be the spiritual leader of the family under God's authority. In other words, God has a chain of command for the divine institution he created called the family. And God expects husbands and wives to follow it. And you might be here thinking this morning, as I did in preparing this message, why? Why should we follow it? And it is so that we can maintain order and peace in the family. Listen to how the King's Kingdom Manual describes our King. For God is not the author of confusion. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, who decided this? God did. And in the King's Kingdom, there is only one rule, his. And you and I, we're not he. In the King's Kingdom, he rules. And I'm well aware that this runs countercultural to the philosophy of this ungodly world. But family and friends, if you're a child of the living God, if you've repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in the blood-bought cross of Jesus Christ, you belong to another kingdom. And if God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, then you and I, as a citizen, as a child of the living God, have got to abide by the King's order. Now we all know, God could have named everything himself, but he didn't. He chose to delegate that responsibility to Adam before creating Eve to illustrate God's divine order for the family structure. God appointed Adam to be the chief steward, the chief ruler, a chief guardian over God's garden, and men, the Bible teaches, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, without Eve present, there was no chance Adam could be confused about his role or abdicate his responsibility as spiritual head. There was no chance he would be confused about who was next in line under God, as many a man is today. I can't imagine Adam saying or thinking to himself, I wonder who God wants to be in charge. I wonder if God should have consulted the feminist movement first. I wonder what impact this may have on gender equality, affirmative action, political correctness, or the tolerance movement. You see, to Adam, Eve's absence left no doubt whom God had appointed to be the spiritual leader of the family. Well, there's a second reason God gave the responsibility of naming to Adam, and it was to illustrate the divine transfer of ruling authority. From God to man, as God's primary ruler under God's authority. In other words, God wanted Adam to know that with authority comes responsibility and accountability, because Adam, like every man, is the spiritual leader of his family. Guess what? God comes looking for man first. Since the expansion of God's kingdom is dependent on how well the spiritual leader of the family is ruling his home, we know from the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, that after the fall, God did not come looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam, because in God's divine order, Adam was next in line, not Eve. If you've ever wondered why God didn't call Eve's name also, especially since Satan had deceived her, this is why. In God's divine order for the family, you see, Adam was on the hook for as the spiritual leader of the family, not Eve. Adam was the primary ruler over God's creation. And so when the serpent came to Eve and deceived her, understand this, it was Adam who allowed it to happen. It was Adam who went passive and did not protect his wife. It was Adam who should have stepped up and stepped in, but he did not. And it was Adam who listened to his wife instead of God and then ate also. Thus, it was Adam whom God came looking for first. Adam, where art thou? Men are to be God's ruling ambassadors, primary caretakers, and chief stewards over everything in their gardens. You see, that means in God's divine order, men are responsible for their wives, for their children, for their careers, for their property, for their possessions, for their money, their time, their choices, their gifts, and their talents. But there's something else that men must rule over, and that is the sin in our own gardens. As we look around our world today, we can see that men are not doing a good job of ruling well because of absentee fathers and fatherlessness. 94% of children are being illegitimately born. We are living in a world that is out of order when it comes to God's divine institution called the family. Many a man is not ruling over the streamed content that is coming into their homes. Instead, streamed content is ruling over them. Many a man spends time away from his wife rather than spending time with his wife. Many a man is allowing his feet to rule over where he goes rather than ruling over where his feet go. Too many men have gone passive and are allowing their gardens to rule over them instead of them ruling over their gardens. And one day, men, God is going to come looking for you and I. Because the Bible says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. Now there's a third reason that God gave Adam the assignment of tending to and caring for the Garden of Eden and naming everything before Eve arrived. And that was to leave no doubt in Adam's mind and in men's minds today as they read the Word of God that husbands are responsible for their families. You see, in the same way that God intended for Adam to tend to, care for, and serve the things God entrusted him with, God also gave men the responsibility to provide, to protect, and guide his family spiritually. Even after Eve arrived to help Adam rule everything under God's hand for the expansion of God's kingdom, nowhere do we read that God ever asked Eve to directly tend to or care for the garden or have primary dominion over it. And it's not because she wasn't capable, but because God did not create her for that reason. You see, God created the woman to help her husband, and every woman ought to know the reason why, because the Lord knows we men need help. Say amen, ladies. And so every man ought to be asking himself the question, how would my wife and my children say I'm doing, attending to, caring for, and serving them as the spiritual leader of my home? And I believe that a godly man will ask that question or something near that question. Because a godly man knows that one day God is going to ask it of him. You realize, man, if you're a married man today, you're the spiritual leader of your home. One day, you're going to stand before God. And God's going to look us square in the eye. And he's going to say, I gave you this family. How'd you lead them? And in that moment, we're going to know whether we led well or not. And all the excuses we might use down here as men, guess what? They aren't going to hold any water when the white hot light of God's glory is looking at us. Matter of fact, there are going to be many men who are going to be full of holes. They're going to look just like Swiss cheese. And they're going to melt before Almighty God because that's what cheese does. One day, you're going to stand before God because God created you as a man to be the spiritual leader of your home. But God also created men to be the protectors of their homes. You see, at no time between Eve's creation and Adam and Eve's expulsion from the garden after the fall do we ever read that God told Eve it was her job to protect the garden. It was Adam's responsibility, and Holy Scripture makes that abundantly clear. Now, most men know it's their job to protect their wives and families physically. But few men understand it's their job to protect their wives and children emotionally, sexually, and spiritually. You see, husbands protect their wives emotionally by encouraging them not to take on too much responsibility, by taking an active role in parenting, cleanup, and maintenance of the home, by not degrading and poking fun at their wives in private or public, and by listening to them without trying to fix them. Husbands protect their children by being emotionally present and available to love, listen, validate, encourage, correct, train, and instruct them so that they know who they are and whose they are. Now, if men were not abdicating their God-ordained role, do you think this nation would be in the shape it is? Do you think there would be such a thing as the LGBTQ agenda or the critical race theory, the feminist movement, and every other ungodly tool that Satan is trying to use to usurp God's divine institution with a great role reversal? Children who feel emotionally protected by their fathers know that they are loved, know that they matter, and that they are valuable and precious to God and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands and fathers, understand this. We are the spiritual gatekeepers for what comes into our homes, our gardens. God expected Adam to protect Eve from the devil, from Satan. He didn't. The question is, are we? Are we protecting our homes from satanic attack? Are we protecting our wives? Are we protecting our children in a world gone mad? By praying for God's protective covering over them, asking God to cancel every strategy of the devil against them in their life so that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. God is not looking for a domineering autocrat. God is looking for men who will man up and become the kingdom man God has ordained you to be. That's why God's word teaches in Genesis chapters 2 and 3 the divine order of God's spiritual hierarchy for the family. And from the life of Adam, we men ought to learn and know it only takes one man abdicating his responsibility to Almighty God to make a mess of your own life, your spouse's life, and your children's life. But it doesn't stop there. If only it would stop there. But it doesn't stop there. Because whenever a man abdicates his responsibility to God, he will be trapped sooner or later by cultural definitions. This is the case in America. Our culture is being used by Satan to try and create a great role reversal when it comes to men and women because we have neglected the Word of God as a nation. We are embroiled in a spiritual war for gender, the likes of which we have never seen, never thought possible. And I believe in America, it is time for us to get back to the Word of God and for men everywhere to stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." It is time in America for men to repent. It is time for men to man up and step up. It's time to take back what God has ordained and become the spiritual protectors and leaders of our home that God has called us to be, because the measure of any man is his acceptance of his responsibility under Almighty God. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Oh, Father, today, as we come to this our moment of invitation, and your message has gone forth, Lord, it is calling to people everywhere. But most especially to men. Lord, it is time in America for men to begin to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. For men to repent and to have their sins washed in the blood, to be cleansed from every ungodly act, every filthy imagination, every high thing that seeks to exalt itself. And it's time for men to take back and bring to God every imagination under the authority of Jesus Christ. It is time for men to think, to consider, to meditate. It is time for men to rule well. Lord, we are where we are as a nation today because we have failed you as men. We have been passive. We have been everything but what we should be under God. Our homes are being fraught with destruction. Many live under a banner of false peace instead of the true peace that comes from knowing and living under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray today for every home in America, for every man in this building, for every man who listens online this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would humble us, that we might be lifted up by the glory and the power of Almighty God to be the man that you desire us to be the man that you created us to be. That we might be the leaders that you have asked us to be. Lord knows, because of our failure, far too much responsibility has been placed upon women, burdens they were never meant to carry. Lord God, forgive us. Lord God, heal us. Bring us to salvation. Bring us to a rededication. Bring us to revival as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. And the church of God here at Green Valley said, amen. If you're watching online today and you know that you are not saved, the good news for you is that you do not have to remain not saved. There is a Savior in heaven, and His name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray this morning, if you're a man in this building or a man online and you've not yet received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that today would be that day. You may be a man here this morning and God's opened your eyes a little bit. Perhaps it's time for you to rededicate your life to Christ. You may be a man watching online. I'm going to ask this congregation to bow their heads for just one quick moment. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer if you're watching online this morning to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just repeat this after me online. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, this morning I am coming. I am coming to the foot of the cross, and Lord, I am repenting of my sin. Lord, would you take my sin? Would you nail it to the cross? Would you forgive me? Oh, Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, can wash away my sin, and I need to be cleansed today. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I am repenting now, and I am placing my faith and trust in you. Thank you for saving me. Come into my heart this morning and be my Lord and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning online, there will be a screen. You can connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, call the number. But I want to tell you something this morning. I thank God for each and every one of you. Man, I'm praying for you. And I hope you're praying for me. Because if we're ever to become the nation that God has called us to be, then we men are going to have to rise up. We're going to have to take some of that burden we've placed upon our women folk. Burdens they were never meant to carry. And we need to be the men that God has called us to be, according to His Word. There's only one word in this world, friend. There's only one truth. One truth I know. And I'll preach it to my dying day. This is the truth that we need to have in our hearts. And if you'll take God's word and you'll put it in your heart, I can promise you that you'll be the man that God wants you to be. Would you rise to your feet as Marty leads us in song? Is God calling you this morning? You come. Would you come this morning?